We'll get to the Mets in just a second, but I did see a little note here from the Yankees BT, newsworthy. Okay. As you know, Aaron Boone joins Talking Yanks podcast every Tuesday. Giancarlo Stanton going to be in left field tonight in Houston.
That makes sense. He was there in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Smaller fence. It's basically like, you know, him in right field for Yankees. They're only smaller. So that makes sense.
So Stanton has not played left field since September of 2023 in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Another short
fence.
That's
a long time ago. Yeah. Boone also added that Aaron Judge is getting close to playing the field, but they don't have a date set yet.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to mess that one up again there, Booty, with Aaron Judge with the timeline.
I mean, how about Judge? Are you getting out there or not? You ripped the manager because he said that you weren't going to be 100%. Season's almost over, bro. You got 20-something games to go.
Well, he's just starting to hit. I mean, that's all I care about. Listen, we can say whatever we want. Obviously, if Aaron Judge could throw the baseball properly, he would be in right field. Anybody that doubts his commitment to getting back to right field is flat out nuts.
My issue is not doubting his commitment. It's that he ripped the manager for saying that he didn't say he wasn't going to come back. Mm-hmm. He just said that he doesn't think he's going to be 100% at all this year.
Yeah.
That was weeks ago. He hasn't even set foot in the outfield. So you ripped the manager for saying something accurate? It's not his fault you're hurt.
Well, the thing that bothered me about that was, you know, when I didn't think it was a great look for Aaron when he said, you know, I haven't seen him throw yet.
Right.
That was the thing that jumped out to me. And then obviously Judge's response, you and I talked about this a little bit. I felt like he threw Aaron under the bus. I mean, Aaron's been, you know, really going out of his way. That's his style. That's his managerial style, to protect the guys in the clubhouse and the locker room and keep it sacred and not railroad him in the press. And then I thought Aaron's words got away from him. I think they also seem a little more harsh and black and white than the actual tone when you listen to it. But it wasn't a great look for Aaron Judge. I don't dispute that.
Yeah, well, and the point is, he still, weeks later, still hasn't been in the outfield. And the problem is that now you're going to have a situation where you get Giancarlo Stanton in left field, where he's done a nice job, but he's not an outfielder at this point in his career. He can't do it consecutively. You hold your breath and say, well, the guy's doing something he hasn't done in 2 years, playing the outfield since 2023.
Playing left field, yeah.
Yeah, playing the left field.
I listen, you get him out there, you pick your spots. It's obviously not ideal, and this is going to be a series. I don't want to get to the Mets too here, obviously, but this is going to be a series where we're going to start to learn a little bit more about these Yankees. You would have loved to have swept the White Sox. Instead, you get 3 out of 4. You know, you obviously beat a bad team before that, but this is really judgment time for the Yankees. And if Stanton could give you anything on a short field, whether it's Fenway in the left, whether it's in Houston in the left, whether it's in right in the Bronx, you know, it can preserve his body, and it gives him a chance to play both Judge and Stanton, which is what we're looking for.
That's what you have to have. You have to have both their bats in the lineup. So obviously we understand that, and that's why he's going to be in left field tonight. All right, as it pertains to the Mets, a big win yesterday. The conversation we've had all year long has been about Juan Soto and how it's been a quote-unquote down year for Soto. And to me, the only real, you can talk about the batting average, it's fine, but the only real tangible thing that would say that it was a down year for him was the fact that he was not hitting with runners in scoring position, which is something that everybody expected that he was eventually going to do. Well, he's now starting to do that, to the tune of a ridiculous level that now, when you look at his numbers, and it's not just because he's been hot with runners in scoring position for the last, I don't know, 10 games, whatever it's been exactly, his numbers overall, like, he's having not only, I was going to say historic season in baseball overall, which could end up being that, but certainly one of the great seasons we've ever seen from a New York Met, period, end of story.
I don't disagree, but I'm not surprised. I mean, listen, the frustration, I can't speak for anybody but myself, the frustration for me with Juan Soto was the sluggish start. And when you sign that kind of a contract, that's just the way it goes. Like, Beltran got booed year one, 16 home runs, big deal, not good enough, wake up. It's happened to Yankees as well, and it's going to always happen. That's just the way it goes. So, you know, April, I know it's an antiquated stat, but when I see 230 next to Juan Soto's name in April, that's unacceptable because he's too good for that. When I see in the month of May hit 219, I'm like, that's not Juan Soto. I never once thought Juan Soto wouldn't wake up. But to me, that's burying the lead, because Juan Soto is an amazing hitter, and Juan Soto's on a tear, and now I watch Juan Soto dig into the box, and I expect Juan Soto to absolutely do damage. That's not the problem with the Mets. The problem with the Mets is, outside of McLain, their pitching staff stinks. So it, like...
Well, it's not the problem, but it is a big deal, because it's been the major talking point all year with Soto. Like, we'll get to the pitching in a second. We do have to acknowledge, dude.
He's been phenomenal. But, I know. He's been great.
But he's going to have. But
he's been great.
No, not just great. Like, he's going to have 40. He's got 36 homers. Mm-hmm. He's going to have 40 homers, and he's going to get 100 ribbies, which is unbelievable to think about where he was at with runners in scoring position. You're talking about 40 and 100. It may be different for the Yankees. It's that that's not often. For
I get it.
Not to mention the he's got 26 stolen bases, leads the league in walks, 100 runs scored. Like, this is a freaking phenomenal year, even with the slow start in April. I remember getting on for the first 20 games, and it was reacting to his poor performance in those 20 games, never doubting that he was going to get it turned on, but turned on to this level. This is a ridiculous season for Juan Soto, numbers-wise. Fill in the box with all kinds of stats.
Listen, I think next year, and if there's no work stoppage after that, I think Juan Soto has a year or two or three or four where he hits 290-something, 302, 303. Like, I expect that out of Juan Soto. But there's a fine line for me. Whilst there's no doubt his season in totality has been, I mean, it's up there. I saw some credit, like maybe the first ever to do whatever, this and the 40 home runs, 30 steals, 100 runs, 100 RBIs, and there was one other component, whatever it was, maybe it wasn't 200 hits, whatever it was. He's obviously starting to flirt with some stuff that's amazing, but that does, it's not like those of us, and you were one of them, and I was certainly one of them, that were criticizing his start were wrong.
Right.
He has just turned it up to a level that has now changed the tone of the conversation, which I fully expected to happen. He's Juan Soto. Right. There was a reason why the Yankees wanted to give him 750 and the Mets gave him 750, whatever it was, 755. I mean, this is not a mid-level player who was having a big-time season. He's Juan Soto. Right, He's supposed to.
But there was a lot of criticism towards Soto and his slow season or his down season.
And rightfully so.
But that's where I'm going to disagree. I got on him for the first 20 games of the season.
Yep.
There were people who were doubting that he was going to do this, number one, wrong. And number two, just saying overall his numbers are going to be down. His numbers are not. Batting average, yes. Everything else, equal or up.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Yeah. But understood, like, let's, if Juan Soto is on pace for 120, like, there are guys in baseball that have 100 RBIs already.
Right.
One of them is his teammate.
Right.
Pete Alonso. So he's going to get to 100 RBIs, and based on what he did yesterday, maybe 103, 104, 105, he's on a ridiculous tear.
His career high is 110.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So if he gets to 100...
His career high homers is 41.
I understand. No, I understand. The home runs, he's been on an absolute vicious tear with the home runs, but that doesn't change anything that I've thought or others have thought, because I never once said that he's not going to wake up. Now, those of like people who said Juan Soto's destined to have a Beltran-type year one with the Mets... Well, then they need to get on the apology tour. What I was saying, two very different things. Dude, you're getting $50 million a year. Act like it, which he now is, which is good to see for the Mets.
Well, yeah.
And the second component was, did I ever believe that he would wake up and put numbers that were in the neighborhood of what he usually does? And just for me, my answer was, yeah. Now, it was frustrating watching him crawl and fail in clutch situations, but to close the door on Juan Soto... You're an idiot. Well, I don't know what to tell people. You didn't think he was going to wake up and hit?
Well, there's a lot of people calling him Juan Solo. I mean, that's a ridiculous notion as well. Like, no, he's had a terrific first year with the Mets. I mean, could it be better? I mean, I guess. But at the end of it, he's going to do something that maybe no other Met ever has done, depending on where he finishes with the stolen bases and home runs and RBI. But he's on pace for, you know, his a historic season from a Mets perspective in year one, even with his slow start, a quote-unquote down year. And the best is yet to come for me, and that's the only thing that matters, because what happens prior to today really doesn't mean anything, mm-hmm. and what happens before October really doesn't mean anything.
Yep.
If he struggles in October, that's going to be the focal point. If he goes nuts in October, that's going to be the focal point. But he is now showing, like, the last thing that we needed to see from my perspective was hitting with guys on base. He's done that at an absurd level over the last couple of weeks.
He has, and it's changed the tenor of how his season is perceived. But again, there was a point where he literally had the worst average with runners in scoring position. So I'm just making sure we get some separation. What was said about Juan Soto was never inaccurate. I think what either frustrated some or confused others was whether or not Juan Soto would go back to being Juan Soto. For me, I always thought that he would. For the others, I don't think they really know baseball. They didn't really watch Juan play for the Nationals or for the Yankees last year. This is not surprising.
Right.
This is what he's supposed to do.
Oh, no,
one of the best in baseball.
But we did. Well, yes. Agree. But you and I have had some arguments where maybe it didn't feel like that from your perspective.
No, but hold on. I agree. But they weren't arguments. I think they were debates, number one. And they were debates about what he was doing at that moment, which was at that point the worst average with runners in scoring position. I didn't just pull that out of thin air.
Right, but
if Aaron Judge had the worst average, worst RI, worst RISP, I'd be like, dude, wake up. What the hell are you doing?
Right.
Wake up.
But when it was the one thing missing and we both said it was going to change, then look at the season overall. Like,
yes, and that's why I'm saying it's been phenomenal.
Juan Soto has received more criticism this year than any Met that I can recall that it's had, maybe ever, it's had this type of year.
I probably agree with that.
Like, this is absurd.
I agree with that.
This is not Beltran year one who had 15 or 16 home runs, whatever it was.
Yep.
Like, this guy's he's going to end up with 40 and 100 and lead the league in walks and have 100 runs scored. Like,
yeah, but Sal, think about this. You shouldn't be. Maybe it was unfair to an extent. Although some of the early, again, I don't want to keep it. The early numbers with Juan, they were what they were. And people out
he's
there.
He's not worth the contract.
No, yeah, well, that's where you knew. You just knew. Now, if he came from the Padres or the Dodgers for that money, it would have been crazy hype and crazy and maybe at times unfair analysis or overreactions. The fact that he came from the Yankees for that amount of money, there was no escaping this. So it was up to him to prove that he's Juan Soto, which I always knew that he would. The onus wasn't on me to provide reasons why he's hitting 220 in May.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't on me to do that.
Here's, I guess, the biggest argument that you and I have had. Now, I'm not saying that Juan Soto is some complete overall player. However, this is still an if because there's 4 games to go and he's got to finish these numbers. Somebody was sending me this tweet before. If Juan Soto gets to 40 homers, he's got 36 right now.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets to 30 stolen bases, he's got 26 right now.
This is what I was trying to reference before. This is a good one.
Yeah. And yep. And
40 bombs, 30 steals. Yep.
All right. 40, 30 steals, and 100 ribbies, he's got 90. It would be one of the most complete seasons since 2000. 40 homers, 30 steals, 100 ribbies, 100 runs scored, 100 walks has not been done since Bonds and Bagwell. Bonds did it in 96 and 97, and Bagwell did it in 97 and 99.
On juice, by the way. Allegedly, right? Who knows what was going on back then?
Yeah,
allegedly.
Let's
slide that in there, Major. No, listen.
That was the assumption.
Think about, though, now let's just juxtapose Juan Soto's season. Let's say that Juan Soto came out in April playing like this.
Right.
Then everybody would have been fair to him unless they were just trolls.
And it wasn't just April, to your point, because I remember saying, now it's going to be the Yankee series, and he was awful in that Yankee series.
Dude, he hit 219 in May.
I get it, but he had an all-time June.
No question. Player of the month.
Yeah, he's been on some kind of tear now that normal players can't go on.
I'm expecting him, when he digs in, I am expecting him to barrel one to the moon these days.
All right, now.
That's what I feel about Soto.
Now for the big issue, now that we've got
the
that
real issue.
He's not
from a team perspective. Soto's an asset.
All right, so we know it's the rotation. I'd be curious to get your take on this. I've been giving this a lot of thought over the last 2 weeks, you know, spending a lot of time off, whether it's walking the dog, sitting in the pool, watching the game, thinking about it.
Well, your dog is a lot of energy.
He's
Maddox is not, Sal doesn't, because we're at the barbecue, half of the family's there a couple weeks. Like, you can't just say, oh, Maddox, he's up your ass. You got to take Maddox.
You throw the wiffle ball, you hit it, he's going to get it.
He wants attention, that pooch, huh?
So trying to walk him and play ball. Anyway, so I'm thinking about the rotation. What would you do to fix it? For me, I think the Mets are going to make the playoffs. They're four up on the Reds. Okay,
so do I. They're up four. Yeah.
And by the way, that's a whole other conversation. Like, is it good enough to just back into the playoffs? Don't really care if you do the proper damage in the postseason.
Correct.
Just get there.
That's a post end of the year conversation.
Correct. Okay, you want to win the division? Likely not going to happen.
Yep.
Just get to the playoffs. And I do think they're going to benefit from getting there where things get crunched, okay? Mm-hmm. Shorter postseason, shorter series. You don't have to have 5 or 6 starters.
Agreed.
So assuming they get there, the issue that I have is I cannot start. No, let me rephrase that. I cannot pitch Kodai Senga. He's out of the picture for me. He's not going to be good out of the bullpen. I'm not messing with that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not having him start a game. So as of right now, September 2nd, whatever it is, I'm not having him in the rotation. McClain would be one. This is game one.
Yep.
Peterson, if you want to have Peterson game one, that's fine too. I'd go McClain 1, Peterson 2. I would go Clay Holmes 3. I would move Manaea to the bullpen and try to use Manaea as a weapon out of the pen. That gives you Manaea, Diaz, Raley, Soto, Rogers, at least 5 right there. Helsley's got some time to get himself right. As of now, I don't know how you could trust him.
God, dude, even the balls yesterday on the screws, right down the line, even the out, bullet. Good God.
He's worth trying to squeeze whatever is He could be the last guy on the postseason roster. Uh-huh. But he's still got, like, he's throwing 101.
And 102 he hit yesterday, by the way. 102. And he's probably tipping.
Okay.
That's what they were talking about yesterday again.
But still.
No, he's getting lit up, dude. He's a mess.
If you knew 102 was coming, it shouldn't be that easy to turn it around. And these guys are. So,
yep.
Point is, I feel pretty good with that. So, my solution would be Senga out, IL, see you later, whatever. Manaea to the pen. Now, you also could call up Sproat. You have Tong in this situation, mm-hmm. Tyler McGill coming back. Those could be useful arms when you're trying to put together a staff for the postseason. But as far as the starting rotation goes, I would immediately take Senga out and replace him with Sproat, and I take Manaea out, move him to the pen, and replace him with Tyler McGill when he comes back.
I have no issue moving Manaea to the pen. My fear is that he's actually just not healthy. So even if you move him to the pen, what kind of results do you get? I mean, first pitch yesterday, moonshot, bullet home run. He's been awful. Peterson, who I've always really trusted, has been awful. Obviously, Senga's a mess. Listen, I'm with you on your instincts on Senga. Like, if I'm the Mets, enough of the training wheels, enough of trying to placate this guy. Dude, you are in major. This is year three. This is not year one transitioning from foreign baseball. You are now here. You should know the deal. You should know how to prep yourself in between starts. And they very well might six-man rotation. Stop trying to move mountains for a guy who nibbles and just can't get through five without throwing 80 pitches. I am not doing anything. So I guess I'm with you with Senga. He is incredibly frustrating to watch. I don't care if he ever pitches again. Push him aside. I'm not trying to save him. I'm not trying to salvage him. I don't trust him. I don't believe in him. And I really always liked Senga more than you. Done with Senga.
And how are you going to get him? Like, at least Helsley, you could make the case, okay, well, you put him in for an inning.
Yeah, like 7-1 game, 6-2,
With Senga, what are you going to do? You can't start him. That's
No,
you
can't.
If they start him again, they need their heads examined. You cannot start him. I don't think he's pitchable. But if you then, okay, let's say we're going to put him in the bullpen. You're going to put Senga in the bullpen?
Not the way he's a creature of habit. Like and that's part of the problem. And listen, I understand when you bring somebody over from Japan, you want to hasten the transition. You want to do what you have to do. You know, really manipulate that off day so it almost replicates the six-man rotation that he was used to. Yeah, I get it. But the greater good, and they know this. This is why I think the Mets will ultimately make the right decision. It's not about holding his hand forever. It's about winning a World Series.
Correct.
And the guy that you're running out right now is batting practice. He stinks.
You can't do it. Worry about him in the offseason or next year. You can't worry about his ego right now. Helsley, the reason why I feel, like I said, I think it's at least worth trying to salvage because you're not going to have many better options. You're talking about at this point, Stanek, Reed, Garrett. Like, you got to have some guys. You got to find 14 guys come postseason time. We could get into the conversation about Jonah Tong as well and maybe Sproat when we come back. But I think it's salvageable once they get to the postseason. As far as getting there, I mean, his body, you know.
They're going to get there. You're right. The Reds, even though the Reds came back and won that game yesterday, right? The Reds are four back, as you
Phillies
said.
And Reds both came back yesterday.
Yeah, so the Phillies, the Reds came back. They gave up a home run late. They were down 3-2 in the night. They came back and they won it right. So, I mean, listen, yesterday was a weird game. Mets come out. The bats are clicking right away. Manaea had nothing. Then we went through the mechanics of the game to an extent here. But this is no longer sustainable. Like, they've got to make some tough decisions. I believe that they will. Want to get into this coming up. I do worry. Like, there should be nothing thought of. There should be no internal debate. Game one, playoffs, McClain must get the baseball. I don't know if they'll acquiesce to him as a rookie. If they don't, they're nuts. He's special. He's by far the best pitcher on the team. It's not even close.